Hello and welcome to Bat Flips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. Today we've got another of our roundtable episodes, this time focusing on the NL East, or as I like to call it, the division which looks upside down. Obviously, I need help of experts to see me through this, and I'm happy to say that we've got four here representing four of the five teams in that division. Representing the Mets, it's Ballymoney's one-man branch of the seven line, Les McCorn. Les, how are you?
All right, I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. Great to have you here. And representing the most surprising team in baseball, the Miami Marlins, it's the owner of Marlins UK on Twitter. It's Peter Pratt, who's actually joining us from Marbella, where he's on his 10th beer of the day. So we're looking forward to your contributions, Peter.
Good to be along.
Excellent. Now, we have a usual Nationals rep in-house in the brilliant Blake Finney, but Blake is now obviously living over in the States, so he's in the wrong time zone for everybody else, and it was a choice of either him or all the rest of the guys. So I'm sorry, Blake, but we've gone for everyone else, but I'm sure that between the guys, there'll be a pretty fun pile on the Nats, and you'll enjoy listening to it. I'm told that our next contributor will be able to cover both the Nats and the Braves, which is certainly one type of baseball fandom that we never thought we'd hear. But he's here really representing the Braves. It's Bob Bamber from Braves UK. Bob, how are you?
Good evening. Yes, I am ostensibly a Braves fan, but when we gave up in the middle of last year, I gravitated towards the only team I'd seen before that was still trying. And so have seen a lot of the Nats at the end of last year. And this year, I just have about 10 of their players in my fantasy baseball team. So I've seen a lot of those guys too. But very much a Braves fan, it should be said. I will do my best to cover the... members of the Washington Nationals.
And last but by no means least, representing the first place team, it's the man from Phillies TV and the one of the brains behind the MLB UK community meetups. It's Dave Shaw. Dave, how are you this evening?
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. Loving life at the top. It's a nice unexpected surprise so far.
Absolutely. And we'll get into that more in due course. So for those of you who've listened to these, Tom's done all of them so far. So bear with me if it's a little bit ropey. But the way they're going to work is we'll go through each of the guys in turn, ask them to give us a little potted insight into how the season's gone so far. And then it's kind of open season for the rest of the guys to give them a shinning and talk about what their view is as having watched these teams on the other side of the diamond. So, unfortunately, Les, you've got the honour of going first with the Mets currently at 39-55, which comes after starting 11-1 and with probably the best pitcher in baseball, Jacob deGrom, with an ERA of 1.68, WAR of 4.4, and a grand total of 5 wins. So, the Mets are bad, Les. What on earth is going on?
Yep, historically bad. Last time I've seen anything this bad was probably about 93-94 season. None of our free agent signings have panned out. It's just from top to bottom, the whole thing is just a shambles this year.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And where would you put the finger on it? Is it the signings of Frazier and Bruce, or is it Mickey Callaway coming in and trying something different and it just not going right, or is it all of the above in a way?
I think it's pretty much all of the above. The only way you can be this historically bad is to be from every aspect of it. I mean, Mickey Callaway seemed to lose something with that lineup debacle way back in Cincinnati. Obviously, Frazier hasn't worked out at third. He's now in the DL. He's never been in the DL before until he got to New York, well, the Mets side of New York. Bruce has been a real letdown. I thought we could at least get some production out of him, but nothing.
And you've had no Yoenis Cespedes, really, for most of the season, have you?
Yep, his thigh injury. But he's currently doing some baseball stuff now, but I honestly don't think they'll be able to get much out of him for the rest of this year, to be honest.
So what's the take on Callaway in New York then? Because it was real optimism when he was picked up as the coach, but yeah. It's maybe gone sour quite quickly, has it?
Well, I completely bought into Callaway coming in. I thought it was a great hire. I thought it was a bright young potential manager. He had everything going for him. But sadly, ever since the Cincinnati thing, everything has went downhill for him. Everything went so good up to the 11-1 start, and everything was just flying for him. But ever since then, it's just went downhill. He's made bad decisions after bad decisions. But I think a lot of that's just coming across the National League style of play. Some of these double switches have been a bit iffy. he's the way he sort of manages the bullpen's been very iffy, but as part of this new wave analytics and so on. So I think he'll still be there next year. I don't think they're going to get rid of him just yet, even with Matheny now available and Girardi still out there. But I think we're definitely going to stick with him though. But it is definitely cooled off a lot, but we can only go up from here.
So what have been the bright spots, if anything, other than DeGrom? The starting pitching hasn't been awful, has it? I mean, Syndergaard's had his usual DL spells, but the rest of them have been so-so?
Yeah, if you take the three aspects of the game, starting pitching, bullpen, and the offense, the only thing that's came through has been the starting pitching. The bullpen's been awful. A bright spot on the lineup, obviously, is Brandon Nimmo, which I'm quite pleased about because I predicted him to have a good year if he got the at-bats at the start of the season. And it sort of panned out for him. Obviously, Wilmer Flores just gives his heart and soul to the team. But possibly he could get traded sometime in the next few weeks. Who knows? But it's pretty much, we need to get younger now. How we're going to move on guys like, say, Frazier or Bruce is beyond me. We're going to have to do something sort of magical to try and shift them guys on so we can bring guys up and get younger.
Obviously, one of the cool stories about the Mets this year was your fellow countryman, PJ Conlon, getting a few turns, and he was back up at the weekend. So you I know that you were absolutely over the moon about that.
Yeah.
Pretty special.
It was pretty cool because growing up here, watching baseball sort of since the 80s, and you always had that dream when you're throwing the ball in the backyard or whatever, one day maybe somebody could be there. And there actually happened, which was pretty damn cool. So it was great to see that. And hopefully it goes from strength to strength. I don't know how he'll go with his career, but if you can get in the bullpen, it would be okay.
Yeah, I think that might be where he ends up as a sort of lefty specialist in the bullpen. But a lot of guys have had a pretty good career doing that, so it wouldn't be the worst thing. Yeah. So yeah, fingers crossed for more from PJ this year. He's been to and fro across the coast, hasn't he?
He's been back and forth from Vegas I don't know what, but. Hopefully, maybe get a chance to come around September time. Might get to stay up with the club a bit longer and see how he goes.
So, in terms of the trade deadline, it's pretty obvious that you'll sell us. I think the real question is how far are you going? Do you think that you're going to get rid of one of the two big guys, DeGrom or Syndergaard?
Well, I have flipped and flopped on this all season long, especially since we started to tank. Usually, I would say no. Let's keep these guys, but the problem is we need to start thinking about going for it. Unless we're going to try and sign Harbert or Machado next season, we really, really need to keep these guys. If we're not, then maybe just start from scratch again. So that's basically what it comes down to. If they're going to be aggressive in the free agent market, I would keep them. If not, then I would consider doing a Houston Astros and build from the bottom up again.
Well, the argument has always been that the Mets haven't been aggressive in the free agent market, but they're the biggest spenders this summer of anybody.
Yeah, they're really the only spenders for a while.
Mm.
But whether the Wilpons are ready to open the purse strings again, I don't know. But they're going to have to go aggressive for somebody big. It's going to have to be a big name like Harbour or Machado, or both if they can get them. But I'm not going to hold my breath, put it that way.
What about anybody else? I guess that all three of the rest of... Sorry, Les, are you...
No, carry on.
I'm going to ask about other views on the Mets. I guess all three of you guys would be pretty keen to see DeGrom or Syndergaard in your rotation. Where do you guys think they're going to go? Dave, I'll ask you. You're sitting pretty at the top there. You can go first.
DeGrom, you can see it. I'd have him in our rotation, that's for sure. Both of them. but I think they'll be going to the Yankees, Dodgers, one of the big teams, one of the big showcase teams, that's for sure, surely.
Yeah, you think so. And what about the Mets generally? Has anyone watch many Mets games? You've probably all enjoyed them, to be honest.
Against us.
Well, it looks like you're gonna be spared that, Les. Getting an absolute shoeing. You were all saying at the start that you were here to just put the boot into the Mets.
We're so pitiful and I'm so down on us. There's nothing else I'm going to say.
I was going to say, it can't get much worse for them. They're going through so much crap at the moment. They're going through enough. Even for me, you're like, they are bad.
I mean, you can't burn them any more than to say that we're talking about them before we're talking about the Marlins, because the Marlins are above them in the division. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it, right? The one thing strange, like, to me, there's only two teams that have got the need and the prospect pool deep enough to get him, one would be the Yankees and the other would probably be us. I don't think the Braves are going to be willing to make the move like that in the next month. I don't think the Braves are going to be willing to make many moves this month. The Yankees would love to, but I get the sense that the Mets will put such a high tax on a trade with the Yankees that they won't be able to get it done either. So I think all likelihood points to DeGrom staying.
Yeah, I think that's true, which is a good thing, Les, I guess. Particularly if you sign Harper.
Yeah, which would be nice, but as I say, I'm not going to hold any breath. Even there's Josh Donaldson out there, who knows, maybe even get him.
Yeah, well, anything could be better than what you've got so far.
Yeah.
Even Tim Tebow.
I was against calling him up, but I would definitely bring him up this year in September.
Yeah, well, there you go. I nearly used the phrase "God forbid," but Tebow would smite me down for that. So I better move on quickly to the Marlins. And Peter, I think I definitely owe you an apology. You remember this, if nobody else did, that we said that the Marlins were going to be the worst team in Major League Baseball history in our preview this year. I don't think we were the only people who said that. They're only really bad rather than historically awful. So 41-57. And when I was doing my research for this, I noted that Dan Straley is in your top 10 for position player war. So there's still some way to go. if he's your number 9 in terms of batting war. How's it gone this year? Better than expected, but you know, still not great, I guess.
Yeah, I think the fact that we're not bottom of this division is surprising at this stage, no doubt. So that's a positive. I think it's an interesting one when you take out of the lineup and trade away, you know, D. Gordon, Yelich, Stanton, Ozuna. You know, all four of them are all-star players fundamentally, I think. So we then come to, you know, the opening pitch of the whole season, and Ian Happ sends it into the upper deck at Marlins Park, and
we've all seen that 300 times since. But
exactly. it's a popular clip, I understand.
I believe so. So yeah, it's fair to say that expectations were pretty low, and yeah, they increasingly reduced after that first pitch of the whole season. So yeah, slow start. But I think the Marlins themselves, I've watched probably half of their games in full in its entirety, and you know, there's just a spirit about them. Actually, they've shown competitiveness. They maybe don't have the quality to back that up really, but one thing they do put in is a full shift day in, day out, which I suppose should be the bare minimum you expect from a player, but I don't think it sometimes works out that way. But you know, it's interesting, there's players stepping out of the spotlight, you know, out of the shadows, maybe from those other guys moving on. And you know, obviously Brian Anderson is putting up a rookie of the year performance as well. So, you know, there's been some interesting stories there. They're obviously lacking in quality and in depth, no doubt. Obviously, Dan Straley is, you know, in one of the top 10 metrics of our batting stats. So that sums it up. you know, the highlights really are, you know, Realmuto. He's the best catcher in the league, I think, easily now, actually. He's been unreal. And the difference, I don't have the stats in front of me, but the stats when he doesn't play, and the Marlins' record this year has been atrocious. So when Realmuto's playing, you know, it's really adding to the side.
The correlation between him returning from the DL and the Marlins' results picking up is pretty direct, I think.
100%. I mean, that shows the quality of the guy, no doubt. So, and I mean, the reality is there's a plan, and the plan is to tear it down, and the trade deadline's coming. So, you know, we need to continue to tear it down this year. You know, Realmuto's the top asset. There's teams in need, one of which definitely is in this division, if not more. So, you know, I think there's going to be some tough calls to make. I think we're going to tail off now towards the end of the year if you do remove a Realmuto or a, you know, Castro, Bohr, whoever. The bullpen looks strong. There'll be some takers for some of those arms. So, yeah, we're going to go backwards, I think, in the second half, unfortunately. But that's the plan, so we just got to stick with it.
I was going to ask you about that. What your prediction was? Firstly on Real Muto, but then also on that bullpen, where I know there's been a lot of suitors for Barraclough and Conley and Steckenrider. So do you think
exactly?
Do you think they're all going to go? Yeah, you know, just unless they have their feet nailed to the floor.
Yeah, I think there'll be quite a few takers for most of them guys. From a personal perspective, I'd be happy if Ziegler was moved on, no doubt. I think we made a big call early in the season when we just had to gut Tozawa and move, you know, just sever ties there and eat that contract that was awful. So, but I think some of those young arms, yeah, there'll be interest. Barraclough, since he's come into the closers spot, has done well. So yeah, there's still moves to make. I think the Marlins were obviously selling hard. People know that. So we'll see how it goes.
The other bright spot is Ian Happ, first pitch aside. Jose Urena has actually looked really quite steady. Like, he doesn't look like a number one starter, but he certainly looks like a number three. And that's a good thing to have. He's a pretty young guy as well. So he's been quietly impressive, hasn't he?
I agree. He has a level of tenacity about him that I just love to watch. You know, it doesn't always go his way. He hasn't, if he used the wins metric as one that you focus on from pitching. I don't personally, but, you know, he hasn't had many wins. But he's a solid starter.
Neither is DeGrom. We're talking about him as a Cy Young winner. So
Exactly.
Sorry.
So, yeah, exactly. So, no, good arm. Caleb Smith came out of nowhere for us this year as well, striking everyone out under that came up to the plate. So, yeah, it was fun to watch. Some unknown players, a very different team from last year. Not as explosive, not as fun to watch, you know, from home runs flying all over the park from Stanton and Ozuna, but, you know, fun in a different way to see, you know, Brian Anderson and Starlin Castro, you know, doing what they do. Derek Dietrich, you know, probably not, they're not massive names, but yeah, they're putting everything into it and doing well.
Yeah, there's something quite nice and quite pure about watching young guys who you've never heard of looking good. You know, confounding expectations, certainly mine. It sounds like yours, if you're being honest. You're giving us a bit of stick, but we knew that there was a little bit of reality in there too.
100%.
Anybody else watched any Marlins games? And has anybody else been quite surprised that they're competitive? I think it's probably the right way to describe them.
Yeah, they've taken quite a few wins off us this season. And I think we go into these Marlins series a bit complacent. We really up our games for the big teams. And then when it comes to teams like Marlins, it's like they think they're going to win it already. And this Marlins team is so spirited. And, you know, I think we've 500 so far with the Marlins at the moment in the series we played against them. And I've been pretty impressive when we've played them, for sure.
There you go. High praise. I don't think there's going to be any praise at all for the Nationals, because it's empty chair time. So they are 48-48, which, given the talent on that roster, is just remarkable. Obviously, Bryce Harper has been lamentable by his own excellent standards. Jordan Zimmermann and Steven Strasburg have been injured pretty much all season. Adam Eaton and Daniel Murphy have barely played either. But Juan Soto, he is the walking rookie of the year gong, pretty much. And he is the absolute bright spot, with the exception of Max Scherzer. He must just be getting sick of being in Washington by now, despite the fact he's been handsomely recompensed. Bob, I think you said that you've watched a fair deal of the Nats, as we said. So we'll let you take up from here. Are you just happy they're losing, or are you happy that you're getting some points for your fantasy team whilst they're doing so?
Probably a little bit of both. Like, I'm happy when they lose in high scoring games. Let's probably say that. The Nationals are a really strange one, in the sense that they're a team that, if you take any individual player and look at their numbers, and I kind of include Harper in this as well, none of them look that bad. And they're also a team that's collectively struggling to score runs, but is also collectively struggling to find spots for everyone in the lineup, which is also really weird. But they are undoubtedly a very good side. They are not out of this yet. And I feel like that as we get into the next few weeks and as both us and the Phillies start looking at potential moves, I feel like the Nationals' more attitude in terms of they're going to be looking to try and win this year may help them. But with all of the talent, with Harper, with Murphy, with Zimmerman, with Rendon, with Eaton, with all of those guys, the two bats that we're talking about that are keeping the Nats afloat, really, one is Juan Soto, and I think you were deliberate in your phrasing of walking rookie of the year, given how much he likes to take ball four.
Yeah.
A 19-year-old kid that probably wasn't going to come up to the majors at any point this year, was in, I think, low A in even early May, I think. Mm. And if it wasn't for Howie Kendrick stepping on a great, may still not be here. And the other guy is Matt Adams, who's a first baseman who was at the Braves last year, who was very, very good for the Braves as a fill-in for Freddie Freeman. And Adams is hitting 290-odd with 15 or 16 home runs. Granted, it helps that he doesn't have to face left-handed pitching. And you kind of sat here, and I think we would have all said at the start of the year that if the Nats weren't the best MLB team in baseball, they were probably the top three or four. I still don't think that assessment's wrong. It's just, it hasn't quite clicked for them. And I think that one of their commentators, or their color commentator, FP Santangelo, was watching the Mets game from Saturday night. And he kind of said at one point, we can say all we like about the Nats, they've just got to play better. And they have. They've just got to play better. All the ingredients are there. They've got the pitching, even though it's not all performing. But if they get Strasburg back, and if they make one or two acquisitions that I think they're going to make in the next few weeks, I still make them favourite to win the division.
Goodness, Dave, that must put the fear of God.
It's true. I agree. With the first results, I look for the Nats. Long may their inconsistency continue for me, because when they start clicking again, and I'm pretty sure they will, they're going to be the team to win this division. If they don't, then it's a straight shootout between us and the Braves. And we've got quite a few series against the Braves in September. So it's going to be very, very interesting, and it's going to be fun. It's great to be in this position.
Absolutely. What about you, Les? You has that been a bright spot for you, that even though the Mets have been awful, your dreaded Nats have been pretty terrible too?
Well, we take sort of scant comfort in the fact that they're doing so well, not badly, but they're playing 500. But I still think they've got the quality there to make a run. I was just wondering if they did, speaking hypothetically, if they did come out in the second half really badly, is there any possibility they might start to sell early before the trade deadline? If they sort of really tanked?
The trade deadline's in 2 weeks. I mean, they'd have to go 9-0-9.
That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't
it? They'd have to be that late. I think the one guy that I barely mentioned, but is probably the one guy everyone wants to hear about, is probably Bryce Harper. As I said, I don't think he's having that bad a year. I mean, he still hits something like 22 home runs, which is nothing to feel sorry about. But I think Bryce is probably failing for a combination of one. He, certainly for the first kind of 6-8 weeks of the season, didn't have those bigger names around him. His on base percentage has been very, very good even throughout this run. And the fact that he's probably, like a lot of batters this year, is suffering more and more from the shift. Whether that's going to change in the second half of the year or not, I don't know. But I get the feeling if we were looking at Bryce Harper signing a $250-$300 million contract in November, that number's dropping quite quickly.
Go on, Les.
I think he still gets paid sort of no matter what, because there's a lot of guys who want his bat on the lineup. So I think the number might drop slightly, but I don't think it'll drop. There'll be that many teams in for his signature, so I think that'll keep it up.
It might work in his favour. If he's having a down year and teams like the Phillies and the Dodgers and the Braves maybe and other teams like that think, well, actually, if he's having a down year, there might be more chances of getting him. It might potentially draw more suitors in, but I guess we'll never know whether that $400 million contract was ever even remotely possible, but that's probably not going to happen.
No, I think it's doubtful. But I also think the notion that he was going to take a one-year pillow contract from the Nationals that was being talked about on the Nats broadcast literally a fortnight ago when I was listening is complete folly, surely.
I I would never rule anything out after what happened last winter, after, you know, after all the trades that didn't happen, all the players that weren't signed. I wouldn't rule it out. But I yes, it seems unlikely. I mean, the Nats could pitch to him, we've got one more year, stay for one more year, let's try and win it, and then if not, you can go, versus letting him go and then essentially trying to do whatever. But yeah, I'd give that less than 5% chance.
Okay, since we're on Bryce and since we don't have anybody else to talk about the Nats, I'm gonna put you all on the spot and ask where he's going to land in the winter, because you know we haven't got enough to speculate about yet. So we'll start with you, Les. Obviously, you've shown your hand already. You'd be very keen to have him at City Field, but where is he going to be this time next year?
He's not signing for the Mets.
Well, my idea for him coming to the Mets was based on the fact that we've got DeGrom and Syndergaard for the next three years or so. So you bring him in five-year contract with option out after three. So if we don't have Syndergaard or Thor after them 3 years, he can option out. So he gets to hit free agency again, sort of right in his prime.
Yeah.
So I thought trying to create sort of like that Golden State Warriors super team kind of thing might be a prospect for him, but possibility.
I admire your optimism, Les. Share it, but I admire it nonetheless. So what about you, Peter? Where's Harper going to end up? Not Marlins Park.
He's probably not in Marlins Park. No. It's pretty unlikely. I'd like to see it. I do like Bryce as a player. Something doesn't seem right with him at the moment. I can't work out what it is, but there's some sort of issue going on there, I think maybe behind the scenes. So it's interesting to see how that plays out in the next few weeks. Maybe the All-Star break has come at the right time for him and the home run derby, and maybe he'll just tear it up tonight and all will be well in Bryce Harper land. I don't know. But
it's going to knacker his mechanics though, mate. Oh, cool. Yeah. That old chestnut. There was some speculation that he hasn't been the same since he wore that pair of glasses, but I'm not having that as a man who wears a quite similar pair of glasses to the ones he wears himself.
And is there any beard connection as well there with you? Or
no? Well, yeah, maybe that's why I have a beard now. Maybe it's Bryce is my idol. You should. I don't have the flow, unfortunately.
Well, Bryce did shave his beard for the series against the Yankees. You know, so it's like he does bring a bit of that on himself. Yeah. You know, let's say that.
That might be a sign where he's going next year.
Yeah. That's it. That was my thought. Actually, he was. You know, he fits the profile for what the Yankees want to do.
Yankees need like three starting pitchers. They're not paying $300 million for Bryce Harper. They may not need to, admittedly, but they've got much bigger concerns. It's stuff like Bryce shaving his beard when he plays the Yankees. Apparently, he's taking reps at first base with this idea that maybe he can sell himself to the Yankees as a first baseman, which would be like insane. Although first base, I think, is a very easy position to fill, but that's a different story. I don't think he's going to the Yankees with the issues they've got. They're sort of like 62 and whatever. But I mean, unless he can pitch, I mean, I don't know how good his fastball is. I'd be surprised if they sign him.
I think the Phillies will test the water with the money power we've got.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
And it would fit. It would fit in with us nicely in the outfield.
Yeah, you're short on outfielders. Absolutely, Reese Hoskins.
Him and Hoskins.
If I can be lazy, I think he stays with the Nationals. I don't see any ideal suitor. I think he likes Washington. That's still a very, very good team. I think it'll be a very, very good team for the next couple of years. I don't foresee him moving unless the Dodgers make him a big deal. But, you know, the safe bet's the Nationals, so I'd say that.
Right. I'm going to keep my counsel and just cross everything that he's going to be in Boston. Because, you know, I watched Blake Swihart play out there twice when I went there to watch six games. And I don't ever want to see that again.
Are you still playing Pablo Sandoval's contract, though?
Yeah, but we're not paying Hanley Ramirez anymore after this season. So
that's true.
Yeah, he's just busy smoking big Cuban cigars on Hispaniola and having a whale of a time. God bless him. I miss Hanley. Anyway, that's a time to move on to the other surprise team in baseball. That's the Atlanta Braves. I think we all banked on the Phillies being there or thereabouts, if not this year, then near enough. And we all know that Braves' time was coming. But it seems like the combination of getting rid of John Coppolella for being a bad, bad egg and Nick Markakis returning from the dead has been all that it needed to steer the Braves into the promised land. They are 52-42 at the All-Star break. Bob, what about that then? Is it all Nick Markakis and John Coppolella's doing?
Well, I object to the idea that Nick Markakis was inherently a bad player before this season.
I didn't say he was bad. I said he was dead.
Well, true. But yeah, like, you know, Markakis is the guy that we are paying £11 million a year to hit 288. And I was like, I'm okay with that. Like, we've got enough problems. And we're paying £11 million this year and he's hitting 322. And it's like, oh, this wasn't what we expected. In terms of the GM part, I you know, my inclination is the GM thing hasn't made much of a difference either way. Mm. Anthopoulos hasn't done a lot either way. There's an increased emphasis on analytics, but isn't there with everyone now? You know, I get the feeling Anthopoulos' impact is going to be felt more and more in the next, you know, 6, 12, 18 months, possibly in the next 6, 12 days, to be fair. Mm. But no, I think Markakis is probably the biggest surprise of all, but it's been him, it's been Ozzie Albies. Freddie Freeman's been fit. I mean, he's hitting like Freddie Freeman, but he just hasn't broken his wrist yet like he did last year, touch wood. You know, behind that, strong an offense, and then a, you know, a rotation and a bullpen that's held together. Like, you know, I think everyone's inclination is to watch seven editions of their team's bullpen, six go really well, one goes terribly, and I think their bullpen's terrible. I think ours has kind of been like that as well. But yeah, like, there's a, you know, there's been the big moments, but the other guys have contributed well, like, as well. Like, Dansby Swanson's overall numbers don't look particularly good, but he finds a way of hitting in big situations. Sorry to rail on the Marlins, but I didn't get a chance to say it earlier. We did come back from, was it 9-4 down to win 10-9 in May in the ninth inning? Yeah.
There
yeah,
you go.
we scored six runs. That worked very well. And yeah, like, I feel like if we'd have done this show 2 weeks ago, I'd have perhaps been a little bit more optimistic than I am now, in the sense that we've had a run against better teams. It's been a bit more mixed. Sean Newcomb's pitched very, very well, except for the times when he hasn't. Which people seem to be tweeting that. Like, if you remove all Sean Newcomb's bad starts, he's got a 2.2 ERA. Yeah, but all these bad starts against good teams, like the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Diamondbacks, and we've got more bad teams to come. I just wonder whether we're going to bottle it. Not in terms of performances, but in terms of, like, I think Dave's going to end up saying it about the Phillies too. Lots of talks about windows, lots of talks about, you know, we didn't call up Ronald Acuna at the beginning of April because we want him on the contract in 6 years' time. I don't really know why. I feel like there's a chance this year because the NL East and the National League is not that strong. Like, yeah, we're a day removed from the World Cup.
Yeah,
and it's like this. We're in England's half of the draw, right? There's no great side in the National League right now. And I look at the Phillies and I look at us and I think, you know, everyone's talking about windows. There's a big door over there. So if someone wants to walk through it and get into a postseason, and I just don't think the Braves are going to have the balls to make that big move or two that might push this team into a playoff position.
Whereas the Phillies are the exact opposite at the moment, with the whole Machado talk and seemingly getting ever nearer to signing.
Hey, well, we would have never signed Jake Arrieta. I don't think we had the money anyway. I don't think that would have lined up. But we would have never signed Jake Arrieta had we had the money. And you guys did. Now, I remember seeing that deal and going, yeah, the Phillies want to run at it this year. I wish we had a similar attitude.
We'll come on to Machado in a minute, Dave. just wait your turn. Hold your horses. We know you're excited. I would be too. You're going to have him for 6 months and then he's going to
Boston.
Yeah, Darren,
that's the worst thing. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I wanted to just ask you, Bob, about that starting rotation, which is, it looks really, like, you know, everyone said that was the way that Coppolella was building the Braves. It was all these young pitchers and they had tens and tens of them in the farm. And obviously, Tehran's been your opening day starter for the past three seasons. And he's not even in your top 10 in terms of pitching performance. Obviously, there's a few relievers in there too. But Newcomb, who you mentioned, has been good largely, but up and down. Fortinevix and Mike Soroka have both looked really promising as well, haven't they?
Yeah. Fortinevix is a guy that consistency is the only problem, and I guess that's true for a lot of pitchers. But you know, the guy went 8.1 against Oakland last year, and he's gone deep in games this year as well. With him, it seems to be mental. You watch the guy pitch, and when he's on it, he looks, I'm not saying as good as anybody, because that's not true, but he looks really, really good. But it's more when, you know, when he gives up a couple of hits, and all of a sudden this pressure starts to get on, the pitch count starts to build, he can get frustrated. And I think mentally he's been a, I don't want to say it's been a massive step forward for him, because he's not there yet, but he's improving a lot. Soroka's really exciting. We're not going to see him pitch probably until September. We've kind of shut him down while he's got shoulder problems. But this is probably the one thing, is that the future looks excellent. This rotation is not going to make it through a postseason, though. That is probably the one concern. Newcomb's not good enough yet against good opposition. Foltynewicz is too hot and cold, and everyone else is a bit up and down as well, even someone like Tehran. If we could sign like a, you know, that's the thing. I say it's not good enough. I think we're one guy short. If you could make Newcomb your number two starter and Tehran your number three and Foltynewicz your number four, it might work, but it does involve trying to sign Jacob deGrom, and I don't think, you know, I get the feeling there's going to be riots in Georgia if we give up any prospects in the next 4 weeks for anybody, let alone the kind of deal it might take to get through deGrom. You know, the prospects are there and they're great. The starting rotation's been good, but that's probably the concern, is that when we talk about this Braves team potentially being in a playoff situation, I don't think this rotation's good enough yet.
Well, Anthopoulos has got form, hasn't he? Last time he was in this situation, he absolutely pressed the big red button and went for it, didn't he? And, you know, he ended up in a ALCS, not in a World Series, my bad. So he signed Tulowitzki, he signed Price last time. He's probably going to do it again. I mean, it's what he does. Bye-bye prospects.
From what I recall, it was the Blue Jays he was at, wasn't it? Yeah. I think that was under a little bit of pressure from the owners to get going. I don't get the sense there's that pressures from this side. I get the feeling his attitude over the winter was, I want to wait and see. I'd rather not make the move and be late on it than be too soon and try and get it wrong. I'm not expecting any major arrivals. I'm not expecting DeGrom. If there's a deal to be made, he's got the prospects to do it. But I'd err on the side of no on any deal. We'll probably try and sign one or two relievers just to keep us going in the event we do get close to like a playoff spot or a wild card spot. But I don't see us going deep on a starting pitcher.
And you mentioned Acuna there. He hasn't really hit his straps, has he? You know, maybe the late call up was really because he wasn't there yet, rather than the six years as they claimed, which was clearly a complete toss.
I feel like, you know, one, he said that, you know, it was the day after I left Boston, but he had that bit where he ran over first base and you know, nearly blew his knee out. So we're kind of relieved he made his way through that. I think he started well enough. He's not been exceptional. You know, number one prospect is always a big, you know, big thing to deliver on a guy, but he's already, I think, delivering in big situations. You know, a home run, I think it was at the Yankees, so it must have been at Yankee Stadium. You know, he's delivering in big spots, which is good for us. I think they've over-egged him a bit, batting him in the top three. Like, I'd rather see him behind Marcakis and the catcher rather than in front of Freddie Freeman. But the guy seems to have everything. Like, as I say, to me, he's more than ready to be in our batting lineup. And that was true in April as well. So I'd have just called him up. But I appreciate I'm in the minority on that one.
Yeah, I don't know if you are really around the game of baseball.
I certainly was in terms of Braves fans. Let's say that.
Okay, that's interesting. What about the Braves then? Has anyone seen much of the Braves? Anyone agree that they're a bit of a surprise package and maybe this isn't their year?
Well, I think I expect that the offense to go the way it's gone. They're all hitting well, like Mikakis and Freddie Freeman, obviously. But I think the real surprise has been the rotation. I mean, not a single ERA apart from one over four. It's probably not a postseason rotation, but it'll get you there. It might just get you there.
Mm. Any other thoughts before we move on to the Phillies? I can see that Dave is champing at the bit. So should we let Dave off the leash? So in first place, sneaking ahead of the Braves by half a game at 53-42, are the team who everyone thought was on the cusp. It's the Philadelphia Phillies, who are riding the brilliant Aaron Nola. I have come back from what some might say was a rather inauspicious start to the season, bullpens and all that. So, Dave, how has that roller coaster been?
Amazing. I'm loving it. I'm not going to lie. I'm absolutely loving the ride. It's what it, like, the start of the season when we got totally blown out and Kapler errors and got booed at the start in his first home game.
I have good memories of that, Dave.
Yeah.
That first weekend.
Yeah, Kapler calling someone at the bullpen. He wasn't even ready and warmed up. I honestly thought, oh, here we go.
Or pulling Aaron Nola after 67 pitches, whatever it was.
And he was cruising, you know. But then Kapler is a rookie manager as well, you know, and he's learning as well as these youngsters. And out of nowhere, we're top of this division. And I think what Bob was saying on was right. It is a pretty weak division this year. It's a pretty weak National League. But for me, I'm loving being at the top. It's nice to still be involved at this time of the season. Herrera's incredible run, on base run has really helped. The starting lineup's rotation's really, really helped. That's been a pleasant surprise. I thought behind Nola and Arrieta, we wouldn't really have anyone backing them up, but Velasquez, Eflin, Pivetta have all done fantastic jobs. I was liking the look of De Los Santos until he collapsed against the Marlins last night, but he's still a top prospect.
Happens to the best of them.
Exactly, yeah. You know, but we're top, but we haven't played that. There's still so much more to come. We don't have big scoring, multi-scoring innings. We do it all in one inning, and then bang, and then we just close up shop. So I watch them every time, even when we win. There's so much more to come, you know, and it's exciting. I'm a bit on the fence with Machado. I'm trading away some big prospects for.
Do it, Dave. Do it. I say that only half sarcastically. I'd do it. Like, I really would.
I would, but I didn't expect us to. Like, we're a season early. We're like, this is not part of the grand scheme to be in this situation. I thought, and a lot of us thought, that would be, you know, seven, eight games back at the top and possible wild card run. But to be actually in a pennant race as we are at the moment is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And there's still a lot of so many Phillies fans who are moaning and getting on Kapler's back all the time and slamming Santana and our relievers. But ever since Neris has left the bullpen and been sent down, we've been a different bullpen. So, if we sign Machado, you know, I can't even believe we're having these discussions that Machado could be a Phillies player. It's just, at the start of the year, I would never have imagined that. So, yeah, incredible ride so far.
So, yeah, as you said, so some of your big players, Odubel has obviously been an on-base machine, but he maybe hasn't been quite at the level that he's been at for the last couple of years. And Rhys Hoskins is hitting the home runs, but he's been a bit up and down. And Michael Franco has obviously heard that Manny Machado's coming and decided to come
out of the
nation,
hasn't he? Yeah, Hoskins had a very, very difficult start to the year, and then he got smacked in the face and broke his jaw with a foul ball.
Mm.
And ever since he's come back with that double-sided protection on his helmet, he's been a different player, and the player we saw from in the last season, which has been a welcome return. But we've only got five players above 200 average, six players per 200 average, so we need more. You know, there's still so much more to come. You know, I think we still need at least three more bats and a couple more relievers and maybe another pitcher to be really contending. But
that's a lot.
It is a
whole team.
But then where the National, it's, you know, it's so weak in our division. We've picked up some expected wins against the Mets, the Nationals, and then the Braves in the last couple of series have had against them. And some, we've played very well against the other national teams around the National League. So we have hugely benefited from that because there is, as I say, still so much more to come. But the opportunity, as Bob said, the opportunity's there. Doors open and the Phillies are going to flex their purse strings in the next couple of days, I think. You know, there's talk of the Mets closer, Familia coming in, Machado, possibly Britain involved in the deal as well. So they're going for it. They're being bold, which is the slogan this year. And I'm a little bit nervous because we have such a great future and farm system. So, yeah, we're going to see.
Yeah, we will. One guy who has come up from the farm system this year, who I couldn't pass by this podcast without mentioning, is the outstandingly named Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Ah, oh, man.
He sounds like he should be the British High Commissioner in the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
But he's actually a stud reliever in your bullpen.
Have you seen that some Philly fans now wear a top hat and a little muggle glass when he comes on to pitch?
But he's
been like a new signing. He's been revolutionary. You know, he's now our closer, which we look far better, and we are shutting out games because Neres was just a train wreck. You know, I was there when the Mets walked it off after Neres blew the save, and there is nothing worse. It really hurt more than I could ever imagine. You know, we're in control. Neres comes in, top of the ninth, blown save. Mets go on to win. And
Les was loving that.
Was that Walner's walk-off?
No, it was at Citizens Bank.
I was going to say, it says a lot of the word. We're deliberating which Hector Neris blown save it was.
Yeah, exactly.
I had my own favourite Hector Neris blown save, if you like to indulge me, was that one of the Nationals games where he walked a batsman, then tried to pick him off at first base, to throw it into the dugout so he advanced to third, and then a wild pitch advanced the runner from third home. It was like a Hector Neris home run without the bat having to do anything.
And that was a win. That's one of the best performances of the season until that complete implosion from Neres. So it is there. We've shown it at times that we are competing. It's such a young team as well. But I still think we're a few pieces short yet. But let's see what happens in the next few days.
Peter, do you have a favourite Hector Neres blown save? Because it seems everybody else has got one.
I don't know. I'm not sure he had one against the Marlins. Maybe not. We're probably too far ahead.
I don't think we have, yeah.
You were too far ahead by the sounds of it for Hector Neris to be coming on and blowing a save. So. Yeah, Hector Neris and Brad Ziegler show, and this has been in its own way. So, yeah, Dave, it's going to be a busy couple of weeks for you guys. 12 days of bedlam, I think I would describe it, for both the Braves and the Phillies, I think.
I think we'll lose Franco in the Machado deal. I think that is what's coming out at the moment. I would go with that. But just to be involved in a pennant race into August and September, whatever happens is just a bonus for me. So postseason would be fantastic as well. So I'm happy. But I think the Nationals will come alight. And we've got the Braves, I think. Have we got two series or three series against you in September?
Definitely two.
Yeah, so that's going to be probably the clinches, isn't it?
Has anyone else got any thoughts on the Phillies? Is it time for them to walk through the door, or do they, as Dave suggested, maybe need six too many players?
I think they probably need too many players at the minute, but it is a hard decision for them to make. It's basically simply, do they try and win now, or do they try and compete for the next 5 years? It's a tough call, both for the Braves and the Phillies. But I envy their position more than ours.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about you, Peter? Do you envy them, or are you just looking forward to your bright new future on the big Dexy?
I think probably it's because what the Nats are doing this year, it's put the Braves and the Phillies in a difficult spot in some ways. And they don't quite... As Bob was saying, the door is open, no doubt. But I feel like there's a few too many parts of both of those sides to really contend at that next... You know, okay, they may win the division, but you get to World Series and it'll be a real uphill task there, no doubt. So,
but isn't that the point, though? Like, you know, it's postseason's 15 games, or it could be a few more, I suppose. But, I think any one of these three sides is capable of winning the National League Championship Series. Not to say they will. It's not to say they go into the semi-final, if you like. It's not to say that they go into that Championship Series game as favourites. But it's like, you know, the best four sides in the postseason this year will be the Astros, the Indians, and probably both of the Red Sox and the Yankees, assuming they both make it. There is no side in the National League that any of these three teams should be afraid of. None of them. Not the Cubs, not the Brewers. And God, no.
I say, we've actually had we've brushed aside the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Pirates, everybody else in the National League outside of our division. We've comfortably seen off in series wins and some sweeps in there as well. So if we got to the National Championship, I think we could actually progress. From there on, I don't know how far we'd get, but yeah, I would fancy our chances if we got to the postseason from how well we've done so far against these teams.
And the other thing to always remember is that just because your window might be open in a few years doesn't mean it will be. Like, you know, things can change. That's people true. Can get hurt. Other teams can get stronger. I'm interested in the next 4 months, and it's like, you know, the Phillies, like, I can't explain why the Phillies are doing so well. They're like the opposite of the Nationals. You look at the Phillies players individually, and like, the pitching's very good, but the batting's really bad, and yet somehow they're doing well. And it's like, okay, fine. So you go into a couple of postseries games as underdogs. That's kind of the idea of the postseason.
Well, look at the Super Bowl with the Eagles, you know, underdogs. Philadelphia has that mantra of the underdogs.
Yeah, it does. It would be a good year if both of you capped it off. Peter, I just had a question for you that just sort of popped into my head there. Given that this is the year that the door is open, is any of you sort of rueful and regretful that all of those players that you could have had this year and that could have been a pretty good opportunity, or would you still have been light on pitching?
It's a good question. I was thinking exactly that before we got on to record this. That lineup last year from the Marlins was fantastic, and we lacked in pitching, no doubt. But you know, we would have been up there fighting with all the three guys who were up there, no doubt. With that lineup, they, like I said at the start, there's four All Stars who were batting 1, 2, 3, 4 last year for the Marlins, and throw into that some of the younger guys who've come into the side this year and developed, JT Riddle. Brian Anderson, I mentioned a few times. Riomuto's still there. You know, in that lineup, Riomuto's batting, what, 5, 6, 7? Mm. You know, it's one hell of a lineup. But, yeah, I think the guys missed out. But the reality is Jeter came in with his plan. The plan was this isn't sustainable. The finances aren't spinning, so we're going to have to do something. And that's fair enough, and he's been open and honest. I think that's the thing for me is he's not lied to anyone. He's come in and said, we need to balance the books and start from there.
And you got rid of Marlins, man, so it's all good.
Yeah, exactly. He's so bitter as well. On Twitter, he is so bitter about it as well. It's so funny. He's just blocking anyone with any kind of Marlins-linked profile now. He's blocking everyone. So.
To be fair to Marlins, man, he hasn't been going this year, and the attendances have been way down.
Everyone was there.
They were
there.
True. Everyone
thought it was Billy the Marlin and Giancarlo, but it was actually the man with the orange visor.
He's always going to the Mets, I've seen. Maybe that's the problem.
He's trying to link the orange.
Yeah.
To be fair, if he keeps going to the Mets, he might end up at third base, so I won't blame him for going.
Yeah. He's the right age.
It'd be better there than Joey Bats.
Hey, we're paying his salary.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hateful.
So, Dave, I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to the conversation that Darius and I had with Carlos Peña yet, to hear his World Series prediction. Have you done that yet?
What, of the Phillies?
Yeah. Did you grasp that he thinks the Phillies are going to win the World Series? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. Like I said, the national side is weak. It's not strong. And like I said, if we got to the postseason, we would have a chance in that national side. But World Series, no. we're a few key players short of that. Yeah, a few more Machados.
It was a surprise to me, I have to say, when he was like, "Oh, the Red Sox are the best team in baseball. The Phillies are really cool. They're a good story, and I think the Phillies are going to win." I thought it was going to go the other way. I nearly fell off my chair. I was like, "What?"
Let's give it a few years, you know, because that again, we've got a fantastic farm system in place. Depending on how many again we'll lose to get Machado in, but if we can get Machado in and keep him for a few years to come, then absolutely we could be a team to be reckoned with going forward. But that's the gamble, isn't it?
It is indeed. Okay, so we'll draw this to a close now, guys. Not least because I know that Peter needs to go off and have some more beers on the terrace in his villa in Marbella, and we shouldn't keep him from that.
So tough life.
Last order of business is just to sort of go around you all and ask. two things. First up, who's going to win the division? And secondly, will there be a wild card from this division? So, Les, we'll start with you.
Well, obviously, it all changes depending on the trade deadline and how things pan out. But at the minute, I'm seeing the Braves win.
And
that's hard for me to say after they've been winning it for like 20 straight years.
Hey, we paid about a third of your team's salary this year, so you know. Agent Gonzalez at first base. All $17 million we've been paying for him this year.
Thank you for that. Somebody has to pay us.
Yeah, well, you've got to give him something back for all those Chipper Jones walk-offs, haven't you? Sorry, Les, for mentioning that name on this podcast. So Braves for Les. Peter, how about you? Are you going to make yourself popular?
Come on, Peter.
Yeah. I shouldn't do this based on the attendance of this podcast, but I'm going for the Nats to win the division, actually.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sticking with them. And I think the Braves will definitely get a wild card. No.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. So,
are you gonna have your optimist's hat on or your pessimist's hat?
No, not quite. The Nationals will win the division, and I think the Phillies will sneak the Braves into the other available wild card spot with whoever finishes runner up in NL Central. And I think the Braves will be left on a slightly disappointing but otherwise very good 85 and whatever record.
Very good. And Dave, how about you? I feel like you've been talking yourself around for the duration of this podcast, but I still feel like you're on a very spiky fence.
I think we're going to win the division. I've got this feeling. The more I'm thinking about it, the more we've got September. We've got pretty much all NL East games, which is going to defy the season. The big series against the Braves twice, the Nationals. I think we're going to step up and do it. I've got this feeling we're going to make the postseason, but winning the division, I can feel it, honestly. And then wild card, probably the Nationals. Sorry, Bob.
I thought you were going to say wild card, who cares?
You know what? I don't think the Nationals are going to click. I've just got this feeling. I don't think the Nationals will get it together. I don't know. They're just too good a team.
Like, I can't explain the Nationals being 48-48 as much as I can't explain the Phillies being 53-42. The Nationals will make a couple of moves in the next couple of weeks and they'll be back.
Right. That's maybe the final word on the Nationals. The good news, though, Dave, is that we can take that clip out when you do end up just above 500, and we can play it to everyone in isolation until for the whole duration of the winter, just to remind you of your hubris. Guys, before we let you go, the very last thing is just to let everyone know where they can find you on social, so they can carry on having a conversation and they can see where to go when we put that clip of you out being super optimistic, Dave. So, Les, where on Twitter can we find you?
You'll find me at UK Mets online. And a big shout out as well just to David Tate, who's done so much good work sort of spreading the word for us, especially over at the meetups and so on, which I can't really get to that often. So well done to him.
Yeah, a very good man and a good friend of this podcast is David. So you're always time to give him a shout out. And how about you, Peter? Where can we find you and the Marlins?
Yeah, pretty easy. So Miami Marlins _UK.
Excellent. So get there if you want some people crying into their 14th beer of the evening. And Bob, what about the Braves?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter. Probably a slightly more pessimistic view on his team versus certainly I see the way Dave tweets sometimes and I'm like, I can't put it on. But a slightly more pessimistic than perhaps should be view on all things Braves in Atlanta at Braves in the UK.
Excellent. And Dave, where can we find you and your army of thousands?
Thousands. Enjoying the ride. Come and join me. Enjoy the ride at UK Phillies. And at Baseball by Committee for hopefully some imminent news on some more meetups coming up very shortly.
That is excellent news and a really nice teaser on which to end this. And of course, you can find us at batflips_nerds and at worldwideweb.batflipsnerds.com. That's all we've got time for. Thanks very much, guys. That was a really excellent roundup for the NL East and a bit of spicy conversation and banter towards the end there. So thanks very much for all your time, and we'll check in with you at the end of the season. So thanks, everyone, and that's all we've got time for, and we'll see you again next time.